Okay, well, just wait a while more. It seems like a lot more people are getting COVID. How many of you actually had COVID already? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. The others? Not yet, huh? Are you seeking actively to have it, or are you trying to avoid it? You don't want to have it. I mean, what is it like? I mean, when you had it, was it bad? Did you have what, fever? Very high fever or no lah? But so basically it's sore throat, fever, bit of coughing, headaches. Oh, okay. Because of fever, lah, right? Yeah, you went to hospital, right? Okay. So, what was your temperature? 40.2. Wow, that's actually quite high. Did they treat you for dengue? Did they check whether it was dengue? No. Okay. The others, how? Brian, not yet? Okay, are you planning to have? Yes, no? No. Huh? When you're working, that's not good. Yours what? Imported. Okay, you got it from overseas. Yeah, it seemed like Pastor Moses has COVID. He just got it. And then Yen Lee also got it. Matthew Ng, during the funeral, he also got it. I think he got it from overseas. So a lot of people, it seemed to be spreading. And I don't think we have hit the peak yet. Okay, this wave. So do you know the numbers? How many yesterday? Anybody? Nobody's keeping track. Don't care. Yeah. Well, a lot has happened the last few days. The former Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, was assassinated. Poor thing. You really wonder what's happening in the world today. And then in the United States, so many people are killed by guns, right? The 4th of July parade, and so on and so forth. So, you look at the world and you see how a world is really in chaos. Sometimes you really wonder what people are thinking. What goes through a mind of a person who wants to kill a former prime minister? I mean, he must be really angry with the prime minister for something. Or perhaps he has some form of idea within his own mind that perhaps what, Mr. Abe is trying to do, he's totally against that, right? And, it's really, really sad that you can see people caught up with their own thoughts, their own ideas. And obviously, it is a false, wrong way of looking at life. And where is that from? Ultimately, it's from the evil one. These thoughts are planted there years ago. And it's a very scary thing. And that's why we want to emphasize so much on the Word of God. The only true guidance that we have from God is the Word of God. You know, there's nothing else. There's so many books out there in the world. There's so many self-help books, about positivity, right? Being positive. And don't stay positive forever. There are all kinds of these ideas out there about being positive about life. And to me, being positive, the only way to be truly positive is when you have the Word of God in your heart and your mind. Right? It's what gives you that sense of positivity. There's nothing wrong with being positive. But if your sense of being positive, it is, something that you drill within your own heart, your mind, then that's wrong. I need to be positive. I need to be positive. No, I think the challenge is really to let the Word of God fill your heart and your mind, your spirit so much. What comes true is no longer your own thoughts. It doesn't come, you know, what comes true from your heart is the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to answer one question first that was raised up during the week. And this is the idea of how do you feed yourself? I mean, I was talking about, you know, feeding your own soul, right? And that's crucial. I mean, we spend a lot of time eating every day, right? Okay, Brian, how much time do you spend eating every day? You like eating? Hey, it means yes. How much time do you spend eating? Total, yes, total. 2 hours a day. 1.5 hours, 2 hours. Okay. Breakfast, how long you take? Half an hour. Lunch, 1 hour. 15 minutes. Lunch, about an hour. Half an hour. Then dinner, 1.5 hours. You see, how many hours? Two hours. Oh, you spend a lot of time eating snacks. Okay. Now we spend 2 hours. Okay, let's just say 2 hours. Average, everybody, 2 hours every day. Everything included, snacking, supper, and everything else. How many of you have 6 meals a day? Jermaine, 6 meals a day? No. Edward? No. I mean, we spend a lot of time eating. Now, let me ask you, does it also reflect in the same way how much time you spend reading the scriptures? You spend 2 hours eating, but do you spend 2 hours reading the scriptures? We don't. I mean, to be honest, we don't. We don't actually spend that kind of time eating the Word of God. Okay, and that's my challenge to all of you. Firstly, is by the time you spend. If you don't spend the time reading the scriptures, if you spend only 15 minutes, all for that matter, on the bus, trying to get to work, whatever little time you have, 10 minutes, you read, I can tell you, you're not going to feed yourself. It's basically a sip of water to me. If you just spend 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you know, trying to feed yourself for the day, to me, it's just a sip of water to survive. Right? You need just water to survive the day, right? If it's just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I can tell you it's just a sip of water or maybe a glass of water to survive the day. That's it. But you are starving. You are starving spiritually. And that's why our soul tends to be weak. That's why our will is weak. That's why we don't have the strength to keep the Word of God. That's why there's no life within our soul, because we don't spend that time reading, memorizing, dwelling on the Word of God. So if you really want to feed your soul, the first thing I want to ask you is, how much do you spend time with the Word of God? I spend a lot of time. Now, during the week, it was a bit of a challenge trying to get back to my routine. But you know, I struggled, and yet I sought to do it. I sought to get up early to spend time reading, praying, dwelling on the Word of God. Because to me, that is so important. Right? I spend time memorizing the Word of God. So Psalm 119, I continue to memorize Psalm 119. It's my own personal desire to memorize Psalm 119. Okay? So I've worked on it. I've dwell on it, and I've reached to 56 verses. Okay, I still got another 100 more to go, or more. But bit by bit, I memorize. I think about it. I dwell on it. I go through it again and again. So the challenge is, you got to feed your soul. You got to spend time reading the scriptures. You got to dwell on it. Okay, turn with me quickly to Ezekiel for a while. And Ezekiel gives us a very good understanding of what it means to read and to dwell on the Word of God. Verse chapter 2 and in verse 1, Son of man, stand on your feet. Number one, do you give that kind of attention to the Word of God? If you're just reading it because it's something you want to settle and start the day, you know, you read it, you know, you don't even open your Bible, you just turn to the devotion and just read it and then you're done with it. I can tell you, you're not giving the kind of attention to the Word of God. You're not giving the kind of attention to God. You're not giving the kind of regard to the Word. So the first thing is, stand on your feet. Give that attention. Give that regard to God first, and then to His Word. Okay, Son of Man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. You know, God is going to speak to us through you. Do you expect God to speak to you or not when you do your morning devotions, when you do your quiet time? My answer is, it should. It should be a time where God should speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me, spoke to me, set me on my feet. And I heard Him who spoke to me. Okay, and that's very important. You know, it's just setting the stage. Now, in chapter 3, we read, "Moreover, He said to me, Son of Man, eat what you find." Eat. Dwell. Think. Imbibe the Word of God. Digest the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Eat what you find. Eat this scroll. I opened my mouth and He caused me to eat that scroll. And He said to me, Son of Man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with this scroll. Feed your belly. Are you feeding your belly? Are you feeding your spiritual belly? Right? We all need a certain amount of food to fill our belly. Right? Do you also take that same amount of spiritual food to feed your spiritual belly? Can you see? Fill your stomach. Take the time to fill your stomach with the Word of God, with this scroll that I give you. And I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. You know, there comes that sense of sweetness to the soul when you have dwelt on the Word of God long enough. See, to me, this is one of those things that many people neglect. They don't spend that time dwelling, memorizing, thinking, meditating, practicing the Word of God, speaking about the Word of God. And all these things are part of Psalm 119. We've actually dealt with it, right? Psalm 119, the second section, it talks about how we are meant to rejoice in the Word of God as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your law. You know, we are meant to meditate, to remember, to dwell, to reflect. Right? Last week, I took a bit of time. I took an hour after last week's youth worship. And it was a very good message about this idea of resetting. How Jacob reset his whole life, his family. He got rid of the things, told his family to get rid of the idols. And he went back to his roots and he reset his life. And there are times we need to reset. And you know, that was something that spoke to me. And so during the week, I practiced that. I sought to reset my life. Reset everything. If there are things that I need to get rid of, let's get rid of it. Let's look at it. Let's look at the whole life once again. Let me focus on what's most important. Right? So the more I dwell on it, the more the Word of God spoke to my heart. It fed my soul. Right? My challenge to you, feed your soul. Take the time to read the Word of God. And the more you do that, the more you dwell on the Word of God, the more you'll be revitalized by it. Okay? Does that help you, Vanessa? Can you see it? You need to spend time reading and dwelling on the Word of God. Okay, any questions? Anybody? If not, today we'll quickly go into today's... let's quickly review. So the first section in Psalm 119, we were talking about ignorance, how the psalmist did not have the kind of knowledge that he meant to have. Secondly, he went on, as he grew in his knowledge, there was the need for cleansing. How can a young man cleanse his ways? You know, when you want to talk about cleansing, it's about not just piecemeal. It's about your whole way of life, right? If you want God to cleanse you, then let there be that cleansing for the whole life, right? Okay? Then we went on to talk about the idea of servanthood. He sought to serve the Lord, but he faced opposition along the way. And then he needed, as he served, he realized, you know what? My soul clings to the dust. Wow, it's tough. When you have COVID, it's tough, right? Yabby, is it tough? Yeah, my soul clings to the dust, right? Do you feel fatigued? Ah, okay. Then verse 2:28 is for you. My soul melts from heaviness, right? Strengthen me according to your word. So he needed strength. Now, the next part, he was caught up with the things of the world. He was distracted. So Matthias talked about being distracted. And you know, we can be distracted by the things of life. Covetousness, worthless things in life. But you know what? We need to focus. Right? And then last week, I talked about the mercies of God. Do you practice this? Were you conscious of the need for a greater need for the mercies of God this week? You see, if you don't practice it, you after a while, all these lessons will be, it's gone. Okay, so after a while, I'm not going to review anymore because by the end of it, we have like 20, 30, you cannot remember everything. So after a while, I'm not going to review anymore. We're just going to move on and then I'll review whatever we... more current things. Okay? But the challenge is to be able to say, okay, Lord, let me practice this. Let me make this a part of my life. Okay? Now, you notice that by now, the psalmist constantly is still facing problems. Right? So problems will always be a part of life. And sometimes problems can intensify. So the next section in Psalm 119, in verse 50, okay, and this section, it talks about how this is my comfort in my affliction. Okay, so he went through reproaches, he went through times where people spoke against him, but now he was going through an intensified problem. He was going through affliction. Can you see? And now he considers the problems, he's using a stronger word, okay? He's using the word affliction. It's affecting him personally, it's affecting him deeply, okay? Previously, he was just facing reproaches and contempt, okay? The proud had him in great derision. Wow. You know, people were speaking against him, they were attacking him, there was serious attack against him now, and he was greatly scorned, ridiculed, and you know what? Wow, his faith is coming under tremendous attack. If problems intensify in life, what would you do? Right? If we face problems in life and they intensify, what do we do? What do we do? Okay? And then the psalmist talks about, you know, the word of God that caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for the word of God has given me life. He goes on to talk about in verse 52, I remember your judgments of old and have comforted myself. Okay, my question today. First question, let's discuss. Which comes first? Which is more important? Comfort or hope? Which one is more important? Which one you feel that, okay, when your problems intensify, which is more important?
Comfort.
Okay, why comfort?
Because you want to escape the actions and you might think that you
are fine. What comforts you?
I guess
this is really comforting. Ice cream. Haagen-Dazs ice cream. Please be careful of Haagen-Dazs ice cream. Okay, because recently they found out today's newspaper, they got what inside? Pesticide. Vanilla Haagen-Dazs ice cream, my favorite, has pesticide inside. Can you imagine? Wow. Haagen-Dazs ice cream. So they recall all, you know, you think about recalling, is car recalling or equipment recalling, ice cream recall. So they recall all the ice cream. Can you imagine? Poor thing. So, okay, what comforts you? Photography. Okay, you love photography, isn't it? Right, so when you take the perfect picture, wow, it's comforting to you. Okay, what comforts you? Nice music. Like what? Worldly music, right? Okay, never mind. Tell me. Let's not be judgmental, okay? Yeah, let me be nice to each other. Tell me, Edward, so that I can tell Pastor Charlie. Okay, like what? Like what? Like what? Who? Tell me. Okay. Do you listen to what? Radio or?
Like on Spotify, they have like random creator.
Okay. Who's your favorite? Harry Styles. Okay. That's fine. His music is comforting. Okay. Okay. So coming back to the question, which comes first? Hope or comfort? You say comfort. You? Comfort also. Brian. What comforts you? Helping older people. No. But you're a nurse, right? You should be comforting to them. They don't comfort you. Okay. What comforts you? Watching show. Okay, what show? Oh, okay. Which one? Air crash investigation. And that is comforting. People crash out of the sky. That's comforting to you. My goodness. I'm really learning a lot about y'all. Okay, Marcus. What comforts you? Sleep. Okay. Yeah. You know, okay, let's ask the ladies. What comes first? Hope or comfort? Nadine. Why hope? Okay. It comes first. You're talking about that section now, right? Okay. But that doesn't mean that every time it comes first, it means that it is the more important thing, okay? There's a rule of thumb. It doesn't work all the time, okay? Yeah, okay. What comforts you? Hope. What gives you hope? Yeah. Heaven. Good. During the week, Mr. Tan passed away. Mr. Tan is the grandfather of Audrey, Alina, okay, and Aaron. And of course, many other big families, a big family. And you know what really brought a lot of comfort in their hearts was heaven. That their father and their grandfather is now with the Lord. He's no longer suffering. It pains them very much that he is gone, but it brings a lot of hope. It brings a lot of comfort to the heart. Okay, Gabby, which comes first? Hope. Okay, why? So the guys all comfort, behind all hope. Okay. Vanessa? Get a rest, girls. And you're right. Guy's wrong. But it's okay, don't worry. Hope is our basis. Hope is actually the basis, is the concrete basis for comfort, for everything. So hope should be, the hope in the Word of God should be a concrete basis. Okay, so we are talking about hope. It should be a concrete basis. I decided that I shall write properly so everybody can see. Concrete basis is the basis by which we find comfort. Look, it talks about, remember the word to your servant which you have caused me to hope. Of course, hope is with reference to the future. What is hope? It is a future aspect of faith. So faith and hope must go together, right? This, you cannot have hope without faith. You cannot have faith without hope. It's just two sides of the coin, right? Two sides of the coin. The moment you have faith, hope is the future aspect. Faith is what we believe in. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in God. We believe in the Lord Jesus. How do we see the future? Well, hope comes into play, right? And this hope can be a concrete basis. The words of God, the promises of God, these are things that can help us to find comfort. So he goes on, upon which you have caused me to hope. So he prays, right? He prays to the Lord. You know what? Lord, hold true to your word. Remember the word that you have spoken to me. Okay? He's not making claims on the word of God. You see, sometimes we can end up making claims. I claim this promise. I claim that promise. I claim... No, 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 no. We don't claim things. We hope in the word of God. It's a basis for our life. It's a basis by which we do a lot of things, by the way we live. You see, hope can be something that can drive us. Right? Hope is something that can cause us to live differently. So here we see the psalmist, remember the word to your servant. You see, even as we serve, hope should drive us. How can we serve the Lord each day? How can we serve the Lord week after week, month after month, year after year? How can we serve? Hope. Why do I reach out to people? Why do I share with people about the gospel? Why do I teach you guys every week? Why do I spend lots of time preparing, thinking through things? Hope. Is this hope that I have in my heart that drives me to teach, to guide, to help? And I hope you also will have this hope that will also drive you to serve, to live, to find comfort. So hope is the basis by which we find comfort in our affliction. For your word has given me life. Where does the life come from? Hope. Right? When you find there is hope, you find life. Oh, you know, I've been reading this story of this man by the name of Robert Hicks. I think I've shared this with you. But, you know, just reading the story. And it's about this man who grew up in a family where the parents don't care about them, all the children. The parents only look after themselves. You know, the parents will go out, have a good time, spend money on themselves, while the children will starve at home. They don't care. Give them a bit of money to buy whatever they can survive. Give them one small little mattress. Three brothers sleep on one small mattress. And, you know, the daughter, the sister was abused by the father. The boys were abused by the father physically, and they grew up in such a family. Okay, and he grew up with a stutter in his mouth. He couldn't speak properly. Okay, when he was 15 years old, the father will come back drunk and, you know, he will whack him. And one of the things, then the mother left the family, so they had to fend for themselves. He was going to work. And one day he, in his working place, there was a very good lady who was working there, asking to go to the hospital and try to get his speaking disorder fixed. And so he went for an operation. And after that, the doctor said, the only way you can get better is you need to read aloud. And so he went through his father's things, and the only thing that he could find, in all the mess they had, the only book that he had was a Bible. So he read. While everybody was asleep, 12 midnight, you open the Bible, you go downstairs where there's nobody, and he read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he kept reading until 2 a.m. in the morning. 2 hours every day, he would just read and read. And as he read, he began to know this God. And as he read, and as he read, as he read through the whole Bible. And as he read about the Lord Jesus. And he found in that midst of that dingy cellar in a board, you know, in his house, he found hope in that darkness. It was through the Word of God. And that found, and he found comfort. And he went on to become a very good businessman. You know what he did? He revolutionized supermarkets. He noticed that a lot of people would line up while they wait in line, while people were going to cut the sausage or the, you know, salami, whatever. So everybody would wait in line. So one day he was standing there, he was saying, let's try to do this differently. He said, why don't we pre-pack the thing? So he was the guy who started this idea of pre-packing, you know, sausages and ham and so on. And then after that, wow, everybody else started coming and they just buying off the shelf and then that's it. And then move on. And things were done very quickly. And later on, he had a big business selling, you know, he had many supermarkets. But you know, one of the things that he found comfort in the midst of his darkness was the Word of God. Was this hope he found in the Word of God. Wow, I'm always... The title of the book is called Thank You, King James. Thank You, King James. It's a story about Robert Hicks. Interesting story. And one of his commitment was to print Bibles and to give to people. Right? Okay? So, hope is our concrete basis for life. And from this concrete basis, there comes the comfort. We can find comfort in the Word of God. We can take the time to remember. Verse 52, I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. You see, as you take time to remember, as you take time to review, as you take time to recall the Word of God, it is the Word of God, the hope from the Word of God, that you can find comfort in. I find a lot of comfort. Comfort seems to be a word that you only have when someone passes away, right? And it's something that maybe most ladies would use. But guys, would you all use the word comfort? Well, you all did use the word comfort just now, right? But I mean, it's something that it seemed like it's not something that you will have every day. But for me personally, I find a lot of comfort in the Word of God. I really, really do. I find God is my refuge. I find God being my stronghold. I find God being there with me. His presence with me as I read the Scriptures. I find a lot of comfort in that. Okay? So for the family of Mr. Tan, they found a lot of comfort. You know, Mr. Tan is quite an interesting man. He is a man who fixes things. He's part of our church. We have what we call a handyman club. And he goes around churches and he fixes everything. And in his house, anything that fails, any utensil or any machine appliance is failed, he will go and fix it. Right? So Lee Hong was sharing with us poor mother will never buy new things, never buy new appliances, because everything will be fixed. So no need to go and buy new appliances, right? But, you know, to what stood out about him was his sense of hope. He made a decision towards the end of his life that he will not go for a crucial operation on the heart. Because he knows that even though you go for it, he might not live. And so he decided, no, I won't go for the operation. Instead, I will go to be with my wife. This is my hope in heaven. He wants to save that money. That's him. He thinks of others rather than he wants to save the money for his grandchildren. Wow. That's hope. Right? And that's something that comforted them during the week. Okay, any questions you want to raise up concerning this? Anybody? Okay, and from this sense of hope, we can have determination. Look at how the psalmist determined. He determined to do several things. One, verse 51. The proud have me in great, but yet I do not turn aside from your law. You know what? He's going to stay the course. He's not going to be distracted. He's going to not allow himself to turn aside from the word. He's not going to stray. He determined that he was going to follow the word of God. He's not going to wander from his commandments, right? The word of God. So, you know what? He's going to stay the course. That's the first thing. When you go through problems, it's easy to stray. It's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get caught up with other things. But he decided, no, I'm not. Okay, number one. Two, he becomes angry against the wicked. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. He feels strongly against the wicked. That's now, slowly he's maturing in his faith. Right? He's showing anger against wickedness. Can you see? There comes a stronger sense of right and wrong within him. Okay? Number three, he's making the word of God his songs in worship. Wow. The word of God, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Okay, so every year the Jew, the Israelites, they will return to Jerusalem. They may be in other parts of Israel. They may be in other countries, but three times a year, they will return to Jerusalem and they will worship. They will go on pilgrimages. And they will return to Jerusalem and they will worship. And what is the source of their worship, their songs? The Word of God. Right? So one of the things that we are trying to do at Youth Worship is not to sing certain kinds of songs where they are not based on the Word of God. There's this group called the Hill Songs. And that kind of song is very emotive, very wow, it really stirs you up all the time. Wow, the way they build things up. But is it biblical? Some of it may not be. Right? And so our choice is to choose songs that is based on the Word of God. Right? So the Word of God can be our songs. And then he goes on to say, to be able to remember the Lord's name in the night. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. Now, we come to verse 56. It says, this has become mine because I kept your precepts. My next question is, what is this? What is this has become mine? Because I've kept your precepts. What is this? Don't look at your notes because it's not there. What is this? What do you think? Elizabeth, what is this? This has become mine. Okay, the Word of God. So? The what? Comfort and hope. If you were to choose one, which one would you choose? hope. Okay? Okay, why will it not be the word of God? This has become mine. Because I kept your precepts. Because the whole thing is about the word of God, right? He talks about the word of God again and again. But what is being emphasized here? What is being emphasized is hope. Okay? So the word "this has become mine" is actually hope. Okay? And so hope is not just a concrete basis. It should be a core value. This has become mine. Hope in God's word has become a core value in my life. Huh? Is hope a core value in your life? Right, we talked about in all the companies you have core values. Right, you work in your firm. What's a core value? You don't know. You better know. Right, how many of you are working? Brian, what's your core value for being a nurse? Huh? You don't know? Compassion, you're right. Core value. Vanessa, what's your core value? Wherever you work. Connecting great minds. Okay. Living, what's your core value in your working place? Lifelong learning. Okay, of course, library. Yeah, you work in a library. Learning is a key thing. Jermaine, what's the core value in your working place? You don't know. Well, you should find out, right? Core value. One of our core values as a Christian should be hope. Have you ever thought about hope as a core value? I think most of us have not. For us, hope is like at the moment when we need it. Okay, hope. But actually, hope should be a core value. You know, maybe today, you can start making hope a core value in your life. Can you imagine every day you get up and say, you know what, I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to hope in His Word. Can you imagine the kind of perspective you will have at the start of every day? Hopeful. Right? On Monday when you go to work, how do you feel? A bit lazy. Anyway, Monday, there's no work. Because it's a holiday. Right? Do you know Monday is a holiday? Yeah, okay. Tuesday, when you go to work, how would you feel? A bit lazy. Yeah. When you go to work on Tuesday, how would you feel? No work yet. Great, wonderful. I like that. Be hopeful. Right? You stay in school, right? Yeah, how would you feel Tuesday when you go to school? Yes, be hopeful. You don't sound hopeful. Right? Nadine, when you go to work and face the judge and the lawyers and whatever else, how would you feel? Sien! Oh, not Sien! Core value, hopeful. Glad to see you, Glenn. How would you feel when you go to work on Tuesday? Hopeful, great! Right? Be hopeful. Let it be a core value. You know, to me, this is so hopeful, a truth. Right? I mean, to me, if you can just make... If you were to take the time, okay, let's go back to the idea. If you were to take the time to pray, to remember the word, right? If you would take the time to remember the judgments of God, take the time to remember the word of God, right? It will comfort you, right? Your statutes have become my song. Wow, you can find tremendous hope as you sing the songs that we have from Scripture. Right? Hope causes us to sing. As you sing, you find hope. So hope is the basis. Hope is also can be a product. Can you see? Hope is a basis. Hope is also the product. Hope is a way of life. Hope is a core value. This has become mine because I've kept your word. You know, to me, life can be very hopeful. Why be dismal? Why be sian? Nothing. Why? I mean, sure, work is tough. This is the burdensome task of life, right? In Ecclesiastes. Okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes for a while. Okay, so in Ecclesiastes, we look at the burdensome task of life. So Ecclesiastes is after the book of Proverbs. Okay, and in chapter 1, we read, you know, wow, vanities of all vanities, all is vanity, sien. Sien, 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 everything. everything is sien, right? That's, I mean, in our Singlish. That which will be, that which is done, will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. Is anything of which we say, see, this is new. No remembrance of the former things. Right? Everything. I set my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all that is in the world. And this burdensome task God has given to the sons of men. Right? Sure, life is sien. Life is challenging. Everything is burdensome. By which they may be exercised. Now, that is a very interesting thing. Yes, there may be the burdensome things of life, but it is through the burdensome things of life that God works in you. That you are exercised. You are, God works through these burdensome tasks of life. And in the midst of that, you can find, and one of the things that God will work in your life is to find hope. Is to find hope in the midst of the burdensome things of life. In the problems of life. In the difficulties of life. You know, to me, my hope drives me each day. My hope causes me to sing to God. My hope causes me to get up early in the morning to read His Word. My hope causes me to reach out to people. My hope causes me to search the Scriptures. My hope causes me to serve the Lord. My hope drives me, even when I don't feel like it, to do things for the Lord. That's my hope. My hope is a living hope. Because the Word of God has given me life. Right? So I'm going to challenge you, young adults, find this hope, find this life. Right? Be more alive. Right? So Tuesday, okay, tomorrow when you get up, okay, you know, you're going to sleep in. Monday, what happiness, no need to go to work. Right? Joy. Huh? Right? Not sien or a bit tired. Well, what's your word again? Lazy. Okay, you won't be lazy. But on Tuesday, you say, okay, you know what? It's just 4 days. It's not 5 days. Thank God. It's only 4 days. Right? And Friday, don't think about Friday because Friday, by Friday, come, wow, it's ready weekend, ready almost. Right? Thank God it's Friday. No? You ever come across the phrase, thank God it's Friday? Yeah, thank God it's Friday. So actually, it's only 3 days. Right? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's it. Right? And wow, you're already on Friday. And you know, it's the weekend. And then you see me again, thank God. And then next week's message, even more wonderful. Wow. You know, when I was preparing for next week's one, my heart was stirred. I was challenged. I say, wow, am I giving it this week or next week? Oh, next week, alamak, still got to wait one more week to tell you what I'm going to teach you. So I'm going to speak to you next week. Come next week. And find out. Right? But, you know, I find this tremendous sense of in God's Word. I tell you why I read, okay? My main reason for reading. Sure, I'm a pastor. I need to know the Scriptures. I need to grow in my faith. I need to understand. I tell you why. I find hope. I find hope for my life. I find hope despite being a sinful person. I find hope despite failing God. I find hope despite not doing the things that I need to do. I find hope despite my weaknesses. I find hope. And I carry on. I persevere. I build character. I develop further. How can I grow further? I find hope. And I keep praying. I keep praying. When I read the scriptures, I pray. As I memorize the word of God, I pray. As I pray, I find hope. You know, Psalm 119 is about the word of God. And if we go through the whole book, whole this psalm, one big psalm, 119, at the end of it, if you're not reading the scriptures, I would have failed. So I got another 100 more verses to go. My prayer for each one of you, I pray for you, for the YEG, okay? I really do. Every day I pray for you. My prayer is that you will come to love the scriptures. And God and His word will become real. You know, this hope that we can have is so precious. It's so important. So the word of God can bring about a tremendous sense of it. It can be a concrete basis for your life. Not just in times of difficulties. It's a concrete basis for everything you do in life. It's foundational. Right? Wow, it's a solid basis for everything. If you can have hope in the word of God as a concrete basis for your life, I can tell you, you can go through anything. That's one thing Mr. Tan had. He is so hopeful in life. Whatever it is, he goes through it. Whatever he doesn't have, you know what? It's okay. And he will still laugh. He will make jokes about it. When his wife passed away, and, you know, sure, you know he loved his wife very much. They are so close together. And he told his daughter, now I can go and do whatever I want. You know, it's a joke. But that's him. See? Not that he means it, but that's him. It's practical. It's tough for him to go through what he went through. But he's hopeful in the word of God. Can you be hopeful? Yes. You know, to me, today the word is, you know, people having a lot of mental issues, right? What's the word? Mental health, right? To me, the key to mental health is not in counseling. The key to mental health is hope. It's finding hope. And the only way you can find a concrete, solid hope in life is the Word of God. God and His Word. And I want this to be something that you will have for your life. Make it a concrete basis. Make it a core value in your life. Have you ever thought about it? A core value? I think most of us have not thought about it. But it can be a core value for your life, each day, every day, for the rest of your life. This hope is not going to go away. You can be hopeful about a lot of things, or, you know, the pandemic. But look, another wave has come. You can be hopeful for a while, but things are, will another one come? You don't know. It might. So these things are going to be temporary. The only thing that can be permanent is hope. Hope in the Word of God, and it can become a core value, and it can drive you each day, every day, to go through all the problems of life, whatever difficulties, whatever challenges, whatever problems, whatever opposition, hope can win the day if it's based on God's word. Ken, you think about it? I hope these two things, I just want you to remember. Concrete basis, core value, hope. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and ask this afternoon that, Lord, you will help us to learn what it means to have hope. We know how in this life, there's so much difficulties and challenges. There are problems that we are facing. There are sins that we are coping with, trying to deal with. And yet in the midst of all these things, Lord, we know that the only way that we can find a definite hope that can drive us on is in your word. It is in you and your word. And we pray that this hope can be a concrete basis for our life in everything. It can become a core value in all that we do. And we pray, dear Father, that this hope will drive us on. We pray for your blessing upon our lives and be with us in a special way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you for being here. We'll see you again next week. If you have any questions, please write to me. Raise them up and we can talk along the way.